1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump's managed to keep his choice for a running mate under wraps. It could be announced any time ahead of the Republican National Convention, which officially begins Monday in Milwaukee. That city's Democratic Mayor Cavalier Johnson brushed off Trump's prior comments about the city.
He called Milwaukee a horrible city. It's another just, you know, crazy, blasphemous thing that came out of Donald Trump's mouth.
President Biden plans to meet this weekend with the Congressional Progressive Caucus, even as a member of the Hispanic Caucus told him to drop out of the race during a Friday meeting. President's maintained he's staying in. His health secretary, Javier Becerra, declared a public health emergency for Texas as a result of the severe weather, including Hurricane Beryl, left millions without power in triple-digit heat. And a judge in New Mexico dismissed the manslaughter charge against actor Alec Baldwin because prosecutors withheld evidence. This is ABC News. In New York, jury deliberations have begun in the federal corruption trial of Senator Robert Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat.
A jury in Manhattan federal court is deliberating the fate of Senator Bob Menendez on trial and facing 16 felony counts, including bribery, extortion, wire fraud, and acting as a foreign agent. Prosecutors say the 70-year-old Menendez's bribes totaled more than $500,000 in cash, gold bars, a luxury vehicle, and more from three businessmen. Defense lawyers blame Menendez's wife for shaking down the businessmen behind the senator's back. He's facing a separate trial. Menendez has denied any wrongdoing, but faces decades in prison if convicted. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
This weekend's one of the biggest in tennis. It's the Wimbledon Finals. Kensington Palace says Kate, the Princess of Wales, will attend the men's final tomorrow between Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz and present the trophy. She's made few appearances since announcing her cancer diagnosis. The women's final today pits Jasmine Paolini against Barbora Krejcikova. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Klon, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Dow. A recent poll shows how older voters view the race for president. Mike Moan reports.
The poll in this crucial battleground state, released by AARP, was conducted right after the first debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. In Wisconsin, Trump now leads Biden by 6 percentage points among voters 18 and up, according to this new survey. Pollster Bob Ward helped lead the effort, and he points out that a very high percentage of voters 50 and older are extremely motivated to cast their ballot, more so than younger populations.
There's typically a motivation gap, but not by the size that we're seeing now. And that's what makes this election really different and why it makes the voters 50 plus such a key deciding block in the electorate.
83% of voters 50 and older said a candidate's position on Social Security is very important in shaping their vote. Medicare was at 72%. More than 1,000 likely voters around Wisconsin were interviewed, with an oversampling of nearly 450 likely voters past the age of 50. The age of the leading presidential candidates is dominating national rhetoric about the election, but Ward emphasizes that under this poll, voters strongly indicate they're not too happy about their economic situation.
The debate had its impact on this race, but I think the fundamentals of this race is that people are really feeling an economic pinch.
Despite a strong jobs market, economic factors like inflation and rising prices were cited as a key concern among older adults. Ward says it appears President Biden is taking the blame for that sentiment, but overall, both candidates are not looked at favorably. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Highs in the upper 80s today, lots of sunshine. Showers and thunderstorms possible tonight, a low around 70. Showers and thunderstorms for Sunday, it'll be hot and humid with a high near 91. For Monday, a high near 89 under mostly sunny skies.
It's 64 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, joining us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigvi Olsen. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Long weekend back, Johnny Lupinacci. How are you, my friend? Celebrating the 4th. First of all, put up your hands. I want to see if all your fingers are... Okay, nice.
Oh, yeah. I don't do fireworks, Tim. I mean, I enjoy watching them a couple of nights. Went to a ball game on Friday night. Saw some fireworks after that. You know, of course, we had barbecue and hang out with friends and family. And there were fireworks on the 4th. And, you know, we talked all week last week about being a patriot.
Yes.
And, you know, about, you know, supporting democracy and, you know, lessons that Timothy Snyder gave us in terms of 20 things we can learn from the 21st century about, you know, avoiding tyranny.
Tyranny, man. Tyranny. Come on. We're trying to get you right on that one.
So it was a great weekend. You know, here we are coming off of that. And it's Monday. It's great to be with you. You know, so let's go.
Yeah. Well, it's good. You know, I mean, first of all, though, too, Johnny, it's always great because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end that crazy, painful, hurtful voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And over the weekend, Johnny, you know, reminiscing, I started going through, I don't know, do you ever get hooked into like a YouTube kind of like tunnel where you're like, I got to see the next video. Okay. You're looking at me like, no, it's never happened.
I know what you're talking about. I avoid it because I don't like to get pulled into it, but I'll tell you, Tim, I do this with students. We do the, how many YouTube videos until the algorithm has us believing that there could be a flat earth. Right. So just to build kind of understanding around how misinformation and disinformation exists, and to understand that sometimes like the parents or the families of the children that are coming to our classrooms have been informed by misinformation, and really how easy it is to sort of to build empathy around, hey, before you judge and you say, hey, that idiot that believes this, understand that the world we're in right now, we're only a few clicks away from a whole pathway, a whole algorithm that feeds you a lot of videos. So okay. I try to avoid it in my life, but I do know it exists.
Okay, but I didn't go down that hole. I just like, I get in there and something plays off the other. And I was in there looking at Save Our Schools because we had interviewed Beth Lewis from Save Our Schools Arizona.
Yep.
And up pops a remember when, and oh, well, you know what though? Jess, can you hit play on that real quick just so Johnny can hear what I was listening to?
My mom was a professor of early childhood education, and from the time I was in kindergarten, as she said, all the way through my high school graduation, I attended public schools. And I would not trade that education, that experience, for anything.
Did you get who that was there, Johnny Lupinacci?
I think I know, Tim. And I love it. I love it. So tell me more about this, Tim.
That was Matt Damon, Save Our Schools 2011 rally. And, you know, it popped up in my head. I wonder, you know, if we had Matt Damon's mom, I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say to Matt now, 12 years later. Wait, there she is. Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be here. And reminiscent to listen to that talk and think about that amazing march in 2011.
It was incredible. It just made me remember how unified we were around that. And I mean, Matt, he just delivered 6 minutes of just pure inspiration. But, you know, it is now. It's over 10 years later. And we've said it, Nancy. I mean, where are we at this point? And if you were going to say something to Matt, you know, now, if he was going to do this speech again, would you give him new advice? What would you say to Matt?
Well, one thing I just want to say is I have a lot of appreciation hearing that. I actually listened to that talk again. And, you know, it is all about public education, the value of public education. He says, I would not be the person I am today if I had not had that education that fostered my creativity, my critical thinking. And it's made me who I am, and it's a lot of why I have success in the work that I do. And he believes that through. Somebody at the march said to me, did you write that for him or did he write it? And I'm like, are you kidding? He called me up. I was sitting on a bench there at American University. He read me the whole speech. I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, I'm so happy. This is what you feel, you know. But, you know, things have changed. They've changed so much since then, and they haven't. Okay. At the deeper level, the conservative education movement, which has had an increasing stranglehold on many aspects of education, has gained even a stronger foothold. That's the reality. I mean, if you look at the vouchers that have increased in many states, the charter schools increasing enrollments, the defunding of public education, and, you know, the lining up with the culture wars, I think, has really fueled them, too, because a lot of these voucher programs are starting because the conservative parents don't want their kids to hear about racial justice, LGBTQ issues and so forth. So, you know, we're dealing with a more difficult situation than before, because in the beginning, when we had that SOS movement, we were unified. Actually, tens of thousands of people were there, mostly teachers, but parents and students also, who were feeling very strongly against standardized testing as the driver of education,
right?
And against and pro public schools. That was sort of what was tying everybody together then,
right?
And so now these things have become somewhat sadly normalized.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Standardized tests have become, in many people's minds, the way to assess the value of quality of education anywhere. So, you know, maybe someday we'll talk about that more, because Matt says in that talk that all the things he feels he learned mm-hmm. that characterize his being could not be tested.
Exactly.
And that, yeah.
What I just thought about that, too, because, I mean, that's what brought me to that fight, too, was, I mean, you know, this is how you and I, Nancy, we met. I mean, I had opted my son out of fifth grade right then, got invited to that tour, met you behind the scenes there after Matt's speech. And, you know, here we are all these years later. And you say, I listened to that and I get excited. And I was like, boy, we were only taking on standardized testing right then. Yeah. And now as you kind of lay it out, it's like, okay, I'm not sure we won on that. Maybe not. But because you said it's become normalized, I think it's fallen out of view because the attacks now are so much more incredibly awful.
Yeah, they're awful, and they satisfy a certain element of conservatism that, you know, is as you know, the anti-CRT people and the anti all of the culture issues that upset them and that they want to parents to have control over. So it's a very difficult situation. I still think the message is that we have to organize, that you know, there we were organizing on a national level, and it was really thrilling to come together with that huge number of people. But as we slog on now, state by state, because now there are different legislative mandates in different states. So you have one, you have Louisiana with the Ten Commandments on the wall, and you got Arizona and a lot of other states with ramped up voucher programs. Mm-hmm. And you've got online learning that we weren't seeing as much then, how many kids are just at home looking at a screen and getting an education.
It's, right.
It's a very different climate. So how do we approach it as organizers?
I was thinking this, and Johnny, I'll let you jump in too, but well, what we've been saying now is to really recognize, and I like the way you pointed that out, and I'm sure Johnny did, this kind of state by state, but reminding people though, the stakes at the time we were saying high stakes testing, the stakes now are your local democracy.
Yeah, and, absolutely. And if,
okay, so that to me is that the organizing message to fight for democracy in Louisiana might be a little bit different than fighting for democracy in Oklahoma. It might be a little bit different in Wisconsin, but that public schools and democracy is what's at stake.
And I think it's good if we hold those two ideas in mind, that there's a unifying set of principles around democratic schools that we're fighting for. But the impediments to that are manifesting in a lot of different ways. Even science of reading that I talked with you about last month is another example, or curriculum control and punishing teachers for talking about racial justice or racial history or gender issues, you know. So we're seeing it pop up with a lot of different faces that can confuse people and make them think these are isolated issues, and they're not. They're all connected to one big issue of control and dismantling of public education.
Johnny.
Well, yeah, Tim, I mean, I agree with this wholeheartedly, right? Public education is a bedrock of a strong democracy. It's where we learn to be democratic citizens. It's where we learn to put democracy to action. So I couldn't agree more. And what a polarized moment we are in, not only with the cultural wars, with landing too on, do we really value the importance of public education? And I think the three of us agree, and we're not alone in this. If we value democracy, then we value how we learn to be democratic citizens, and we need to invest and really, you know, really support public education. And that's key. You can't have one without the other.
Mm. I'm 100% with you. We have to support it. And we also have to support the kind of education that we know is going to cultivate thinking, participatory citizenry. And it's not going to be the controlled one that keeps people from knowing our genuine, truthful Howard Zinn people's history.
Right.
And it's not going to be the one that controls teachers and doesn't let them teach with all the creativity and inspiration that they bring to the job. And the forces are trying to do that. They're trying to water down the system to an extent that there isn't any more individual, free, independent, and strong free thinking.
Wow. Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Holy crap. So now you got it. We're going to put that down. You can send that to Matt, because the question was, what would Nancy say to Matt Damon now, all these years later? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page.
I'll send it to
you. Awesome. We love busting pencils with you all the time. Thank you so much.
One more. Do I have a minute to say something? Because I want to say.
You have 10 seconds.
I love busting pencils because you are helping the people who are working state by state to know what other people are doing and to organize at a bigger level, or at least understand that they're all connected.
Oh,
thank you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that
there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educators talking education. Not just any education tonight, we're talking social justice education, right? Always teaching, always learning. Learners leading learners. Mm. Got a guy with us tonight, Jesse Hagopian, big guest representing Rethinking Schools. We talked about it, one of the OG resources for a lot of us social justice educators, going strong and lucky to have them putting that resource out quarterly, right, for teachers to be learning as they're leading their learners, which is really important, especially on a lot of these issues. It was the number one thing all school year. I work with a lot of teachers. Tim and I talk to teachers. We got teachers out there that are listeners. And one of the things is, like, we always talk about, like, how do you teach global conflicts? How do you teach at, you know, age-appropriate level? You know, things that are scary for kids, things that are happening in the world, because all of us social justice educators know, like Jesse shared, you teach multiple perspectives. You take on the sometimes controversial, difficult stuff, because children are witnessing our reactions and how we handle things that are complicated, things that are dangerous, things that aren't our best representation of human rights and our capacity to care for one another, right? And we learn from struggles like the civil rights movement. We learn from unity and solidarity around the world. So Jesse, dive into it. Jesse's article in the Rethinking Schools most recent issue, Israel's War on Gaza is also a war on history, education, and children. Jesse, tell our listeners a little bit about this article. And we were talking before the show a little bit about how you're connecting some important dots, building some solidarity, right? And some of the conversations you got to have with inspiring people today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, in the article I write, I want educators to think about what it would be like to be a teacher in Palestine, to be a teacher in Gaza. None of us got to choose where we were born. But the fact that I happen to be here instead of in Gaza, my life is dramatically different. And in Gaza, every single university has been bombed, right? Hundreds of schools have been bombed using bombs made by Boeing that is in my hometown of Seattle, right? Our taxpayer money is going to fund the occupation of Palestine, and U.S. corporations are profiting off of blowing up schools there. And I want educators to think about what it would be like to be teaching in Gaza, where you have a genocidal war being waged. Another word that's important to understand, scholasticide. The destruction, the, you know, direct targeting and destruction of schools that's going on there. And, you know, many educators believe that students should be able to discuss the most important topics that adults are talking about in society. And so many social justice educators are organizing lessons to have students discuss what they think of schools being bombed in Gaza. And for doing that, there can be harsh repercussions, right? I have a friend who was teaching about Palestine, and they brought a mobile billboard to his school with his face on it and a website taken out under his legal name to smear him as anti-Semitic because he was against bombing schools. And he thought students should be able to talk about that. And, you know, in fact, the social justice movement that calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza believes that every life is precious and that we have to fight all forms of oppression, whether that's racism, Islamophobia, or anti-Semitism. All of those forms of oppression have to be fought, but we can't fight oppression and support genocide at the same time. And so we believe young people are intellectuals and are able to confront difficult ideas and come up with their own opinions. They might not agree with what my opinion is, but they have a right to hear from people in our society who think that it's wrong to bomb schools. And they have a right to consider whether that's right or not. And they have a right to speak out about it and learn about the history that led up to this moment so that we don't pretend that the current war came out of nowhere, that this is the first conflict of its kind, so that they can understand the history that led up to where we are now.
So much history involved too, Jesse, as you were talking about that. And, you know, just think about this. And again, putting it back to into that reality of a classroom, you know, a classroom of eighth graders sitting out there, you know, and maybe in Madison, Wisconsin, or in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and thinking about who's sitting out in front of me and, you know, 25 seventh, eighth graders, they're going to have 25 multiple perspectives. And so bringing this concept up, you know, I'm even thinking about that. I mean, how do you wrestle with the multiple perspectives when students might vehemently disagree?
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be difficult when there are very strong opinions, and that difficulty just shows that it's so important to do. And so when we're looking at the history of the United States, we can either teach this history as it was a beacon of freedom from the beginning that built the freest society on earth, or we can teach that some believed that and some people said that, and then there was also a genocide against Native Americans and their land was taken. And we could teach that slavery occurred and my ancestors were put into bondage. And I can either decide to hide that history from my students, or I can allow them to grapple with those very difficult questions and some hard history, right? The same is true with Israel and Palestine. We can just teach that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, and that there's no right for Palestinians to their land that some people would suggest, or we can teach that in 1948, Israel imposed itself as a country by dispossessing native people in Palestine from their land, and that actually the Nakba occurred, and we can have them grapple with what happened in 1948, how Israel was established, who lost their land. And they can hear perspectives on both sides and then consider what they believe.
And Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools, truly busting pencils with us tonight. Jesse, man, thank you so much for your time tonight. When we get back, Tim and Johnny breaking it down. Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools. Go out there, download a copy of that. Sign up Rethinking Schools. Give them some love. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump's managed to keep his choice for a running mate under wraps. It could be announced any time ahead of the Republican National Convention, which officially begins Monday in Milwaukee. That city's Democratic Mayor Cavalier Johnson brushed off Trump's prior comments about the city.
He called Milwaukee a horrible city. It's another just, you know, crazy, blasphemous thing that came out of Donald Trump's mouth.
President Biden plans to meet this weekend with the Congressional Progressive Caucus, even as a member of the Hispanic Caucus told him to drop out of the race during a Friday meeting. Presidents maintain he's staying in. His health secretary, Javier Becerra, declared a public health emergency for Texas as a result of the severe weather, including Hurricane Beryl, left millions without power in triple-digit heat. And a judge in New Mexico dismissed the manslaughter charge against actor Alec Baldwin because prosecutors withheld evidence. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers upset by the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals last night. 5-2 to AmFam Field in Milwaukee. The Nationals able to snap a five-game losing streak. Brewers right-hander Freddy Peralta struggled, giving up 4 runs on 10 hits through 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I mean, I think Freddy made a few mistakes, but I thought generally he threw the ball good. And, you know, they just lost 5 in a row, so they're kind of hungry to win, and they put some balls in play. And, yeah, and their starter did a nice job to keep us at bay.
The Nationals' Jackson Rutledge held Milwaukee to just 3 hits on 2 walks over 4 2/3 innings. In his first ever major league start, a familiar face, Jesse Winker, who struggled last year with the Brewers, crushed a home run 403 feet to right center field, his 11th home run of the year. He also drove in a run with an RBI double. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 5-1 in St. Louis. Chicago's now won 5 in a row. The Reds got past the Marlins 7-4. Pirates over the White Sox 4-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Highs in the upper 80s today, lots of sunshine. Showers and thunderstorms possible tonight, a low around 70. Showers and thunderstorms for Sunday, it'll be hot and humid with a high near 91. For Monday, a high near 89 under mostly sunny skies.
It's 64 at our studios.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle 3. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot for a look at the forecast for the weekend. Brian Kuklinski swings in from the Green Bay Rockers.
Then we'll play a round of Who Are You? That'll be fun.
Well, that's debatable. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education with Educators Amplified. Yeah, it's Wednesday night, and Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna are in the house. We're talking beautifully critical, critically beautiful, and social justice teaching gets a bad rap sometimes, potentially, or it could potentially also, maybe it's not really even occurring when we think it is happening, or are there times when, what we might call social justice teaching, is it really just people advocating things that have nothing to do with social justice? Hallie, I'm going to read a quote from you, though, that you had put in as we came into the show. We can't keep kids in the containers of reading, writing, and arithmetic. They are complex beings who benefit from the social interactions with their peers and having conversations among them with healthy adults. And that goes with what we were hearing during the break. Power with. Make sense of that.
Well, I just... I'm upset, or I just, what's been surrounding me lately is that there's no real conversations about like what teaching and learning really is and what public education is for, or what's its purpose, or what is it serving. And there is a dominant force trying to say that public schools should just be reading, writing, and arithmetic, that open up the brain, shove it inside. That's all that you should do. And obviously, from my experience as an educator working with children, no offense to those people, but I can tell they've never worked with children. Because working with children is complex. There's so many diverse needs. And so something that I just really value about public education is that concept of like, it's peers being able to socialize with peers that are different, come from different backgrounds, have different situations at home, have seen different things. And so let's just talk about it, you know, not in a way of being like, you know, this is what it has to be for everybody, but I think it can increase a child's ability to see things outside of their own, you know, their own bubble, you know, and that to me, or what I know, is education, and then how children truly learn is through processing that with other peers. And so that's really what I mean by all of that. But I know that connecting back to social justice and even what I just said, in order to have all of that, you have to preserve the high quality professionals that are in the schools and create those healthy environments and have the adults then be healthy to be able to foster these type of conversations. Like, that's true quality education. So yeah, I think, you know, it takes a lot, but it can be done.
I do. Teacher Joanna, you got that look of going,
A little murky.
Well, it was making me think about, I can't even exactly remember, but something you and I were talking about earlier today, Hallie, with the acknowledgement that teaching really is very PC. So when we are like accused of like sharing an ideology, I cannot remember, you know, I've been teaching, this is my, I've completed my 28th year. And I think what I became really good at, or what teaching is how to facilitate, not just, you know, it's not the old view of like the sage on the stage where I just stood in front of my students and spewed and expected them to listen. Like, the majority of my teaching was so interactive, where every voice mattered or could contribute. And so one, I think that sometimes when people talk about education, they really are talking about a picture of a long time ago. Like, maybe I did kind of experience that when I was a student in high school in the early 90s. But in my experience in the profession, it's not like that. It hasn't been like that. Like, teachers, that's part of the professionalism, right? Is that you're building on every idea, you're making every connection, you're leading people to come to their own conclusions. It's not rote. It's not like, I said this, so you repeat this back. No, it's like making sense of things for themselves and together. And so wow, I just wish that that was more like updated. But even when I talk to people, it's clear to me that everyone has the picture of what it is when, you know, of what, when they went to school. And that's where I said, again, with our leaders being trained way back when, like, it's just different.
Well, there it is. As true as the bell rings, Tim, you know what time that is, listener. Today's Democracy in Action. We do this here every day, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Democracy in Action. Today's Democracy in Action is this discussion, unpacking social justice education, and really, Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie in this segment are Democracy in Action because they highlighted two really important core democratic values, equality and diversity. Equality, everybody should get the same treatment regardless of where their parents or grandparents were born, where they were born, their race, their religion, how much money they have. Citizens all have political, social, and economic equality. And guess who our citizens? Our students. You know who else? Their teachers. You know who else? All of us. So this is democracy in action, valuing equality. And then with that, and I'm telling you this, Tim and listener and everyone out there, because this isn't something made up by social justice people. This didn't come out of DEI stuff. This didn't come out of like recent Democrat politics. It comes out of core democratic values. It goes back to the founding of this country. And you want to know what this next one is that goes with equality? Diversity. It's not new. Differences in language, dress, food, where I talked about those kids and their parents and grandparents were born. We could be born in different places. We still have equal value in our communities. Race, religion are not only allowed. The differences we have are not only allowed, they're celebrated, and they're what make us important. So these aren't just new liberal things. These are core democratic values of the United States Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And man, I've been going on about it because I love this part of every day's show, Democracy in Action. Thank you, Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie, for banging that one out of the park with us tonight.
Absolutely. They brought it. And Johnny, man, too, making us remember that what you're talking about isn't this new liberal fad. It's going back and being truly a democratic patriot, digging deep, freedom, liberty, bringing back those terms and saying, you know what, good, you want to call it social justice education, call it good education, whatever it is, but that is going back to the founding of this country around those core democratic values. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, look what you did to Johnny tonight.
Well, again, we just like to talk about the process and the reality of educating. Even when you say the word diverse, I just think about, you know, in a classroom, and this is how I would explain it to parents. It's like if you are a parent and you have multiple children, your kids are different.
Yeah.
Guess what? And so you do different things for your different kids. You have to, they're motivated by different things, they're comforted by different things, they learn in different ways. And that's teaching. Not that I'm parenting them, but saying I have a room full of kids and they have all those things. And so then that's the beauty of being a professional educator. That's what we really know, right? Is how children learn, how they develop, how they respond, how we can make those connections. And so it has to be diverse because you got a whole group of people and nobody's like cloned in there. So that's what I hear.
And I love it. I love it. Tim, you probably know the definition I always give, and Teacher Joanna just broke it down. Diversity is a condition of difference upon which everything exists. We ourselves are like individual human beings. We aren't singularities. We are diverse cells and different warring bacteria colonies and all kinds of things. We don't eat the same thing. If we only drank water, we might not survive, right? We have to have diversity. We have to have biological diversity, cultural diversity, or we don't exist. So it's just there by condition. Now, whether we recognize and value it, that's the other piece. And that comes back for me around to what it means to be a critical educator, right? A social justice educator, beautifully critical, critically beautiful, is valuing diversity, recognizing it and valuing it. And I love how Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie break that down into where that might not always be supported. Because they're reminding us, like, hey, we're really talking about ways we ought to be teaching. It's not like there's a whole lot of teachers out there saying, not me, I'm not going to teach that way. But that it's really not supported structurally in the way that we organize schools, the way we incentivize, the way we support, and just sometimes just the very build of schools and the practice of public schooling in this country is not congruent with supporting this kind of beautifully critical that we're talking about.
I think it goes back too to what Joanna has said, is we've pointed this out. We don't value the words, the thoughts of teachers and kids. Both put those two together, the kids and the students and their teachers. What do they have to say? We don't care. We don't listen to that. We don't elevate the voices of teachers and kids, which is kind of really sad when you think about being in the business of educating communities for critically beautiful citizenship and beautifully critical citizens. How could we go without hearing from Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna and Educators Amplified out there doing the work that you guys are always doing, which is elevating those voices of teachers, educators, kids, those closest to the realities that need to be brought forward. Man, that just landed for me right there on that moment. And Hal, you got that look of going, what, Tim is crazy or?
No, okay. I was laughing because you know what? You guys listen to Civic Media and love your listeners. So you're doing too. What you're preaching. That's why I was laughing.
Oh, that laugh though too. We're gonna bottle that laugh and keep that teacher Joanna. But I mean, this is kind of what started the conversation tonight. You know, we were having text messages back and forth preparing for the show, and it was, again, it's just that whose voices do we value? And if we could start there and saying, well, whose voices don't we hear?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I always think back on just who I am and how I've developed as a teacher. And I do know the technical stuff, but I know something that I brought with me or brought into it that I can just always point to of like, why have I loved teaching and why have I been pretty good at it? Is I always say I have a profound respect for children. Mm. I can hear them and I listen to them and I value them. And that is where, though, I'm kind of at odds with a system that says, no, I'm in charge and no, I should tell them and no, I should limit them in these ways. Mm. And so I've just always been sensitive, I think, when I was a student and then going into teaching, into how the setup doesn't profoundly respect children. And I often found myself being their advocate. You know, I would tell Hallie that all the time. I'd be like, we're advocates. You know what I mean? Of like, and so I just know that the majority of educators who are up in this, they have a profound respect for children. And that is, that's how they do it.
Busted pencils fully. Let it education talk, educated educators talking education, and it's Wednesday night talking to Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, the number's 855-752-4842. You can jump in, give us a call. Do you value students? Do you have a profound respect for children? If you do, then you want to call us, give us a call and talk to us. You know, I mean, I'm just thinking, it's like, man, I see children and I have a respect. And yeah, maybe that is it too. It's like, where are we putting that respect? How does that respect, how do we show that respect? How do we show that we profoundly respect children? Well, if you're a social justice educator truly doing it and doing some beautifully critical work, I'm going to bet that you profoundly respect children. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight-line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sometimes it's hard to come back when I hear this song. I just want to start dancing and moving. Because, but we do want to talk about it. Bust the Pencils, fully leaded. Education Talk, Educated Educators, Talking Education. The number, 855-752-4842. A little reflection on President Biden, Civic Media's transparency, putting it forward. Earl Ingram, Johnny Lupinacci, Democracy in Action, Civic Media, right there. And a little discussion on aging. And I started Busted Pencils at the top of the hour with going, this one of these educated educators might have got himself educated today in a way, Johnny, that I'm kind of really embarrassed and even potentially concerned about my own, you know, kind of ability to handle things. I got scammed today, dude, and in a way that is really kind of like going, like I've had people go, you fell for that? And it happened, dude. I'm sitting on my front porch, you know, just relaxing, because guess what? We finally had a break in the weather here in Ohio. It's like 80 degrees, no humidity. I'm sitting out on the front porch swing, and the phone rings, and I look down, you know, and you check this now. You almost always know, okay, spam call, spam call, spam call. But there was something about the number this time that made me go, maybe I'll pay attention. I didn't pick it up, but then it became a voicemail. It was a 608 phone number with a location in Wisconsin. And for the listener, yes, I spent 9 years living in Madison, Wisconsin. And so the idea that I was getting a phone call from the Madison area was a bit like, oh, wonder what that's about. And then the voicemail was like, hey, this is an urgent legal matter. Can you call us back? And I kind of went, that's where I started. I took the bait, man. I took the bait right there. And I made the call, and they were like, well, hey, is this Tim Slicker? I said, yes, it's me. Did you live at 593 Gray Street? And I was like, yeah, I did live there. And are you currently living at 18? I'm like, yes, that's where I currently live. What's going on? Well, did you know that that you signed a jury summons to appear, and you did not appear, and we now have a warrant for you for not appearing for jury duty? And it sounds like this, sir, that it sounds like that you were scammed and that you actually did not live in Wisconsin and that you didn't violate anything. But to get this fixed, we're going to need to have you go to the local sheriff's office so you can validate and verify your signature. And on the way there, be prepared to spend $2,000. Now, that'll get refunded back to you because we know this is a scam. We know you've been scammed, Tim, but we want to help you get this situated. Man, I fell for it, dude. I don't know what I got in my car and started driving to the sheriff's office thinking I'm going to go in and I got to get this cleared up right away because I didn't blow off jury duty. I didn't do this. And I know you're looking at me like going,
no, you
dude,
do your
like,
civic duty.
I was thinking, yeah, it's my civic duty. I did not. And that was where I kept thinking throughout the whole time. I'm going, I think I'm being scammed. I feel like it because I know I didn't sign any jury summons types of things from Wisconsin. I know that I didn't. But then I'm just thinking, like, I remember this one time when I was living in Madison and I was summoned for jury duty in Dane County and I had to miss it because of something else. And I'm like, I wonder if this got mixed up that day that I thought excused from jury duty. Maybe I didn't officially get excused from jury duty. I mean, why would they know I live at 180 where I live now? Man, and you know what happened? They gave me this thing, like, and this is where I knew I started feeling it fall apart. Before you go to the sheriff's office, we need you to stop at your nearest CVS. I know, Jess, you know. And they sent me a barcode with a CVS on it. And they're like, you know, you need to take this into CVS to get. And I went in, and the CVS person was like, sir, you're being scammed. Because it had happened in that CVS with our local sheriff's organ. And I felt really, really relieved when it happened because I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And then I started doing into the compounding effect of going, oh, my God, what's wrong with me that I fell for this? What's happening as I'm getting older? Is it my decline that was on display today that, you know, talking about President Biden and stuff, you know, did I get suckered into this? And we'll just put in there too, Jess was messing around and being kind of silly and sends me a text message going, well, that kind of happened to my great grandma and that's how we knew to give power of attorney to them. And I was like, oh my God, even Jess sees it. She knows. She's been seeing me declining over the radio show over the past few months. I'm in trouble.
You're okay, Sam.
So anyway, man, dude, I put this out there though for anybody to say, it can happen to you. It can happen to you. Yeah. And I know people are, I can imagine right now a listener out there going, Tim, I cannot believe you fell for that. Or what, like, what was it? I don't know, Johnny. Was it just that moment that it some of the things rang a little bit true enough to go, I want to handle this. Lupinacci. Yeah,
a good scam works that way, right? I mean, I think we're all vulnerable at different times to these things. And it's easy to fall for some of that stuff. I mean, I've been a couple of times, Tim, almost on the same path. And mine's been more like with my local bank.
Okay.
Where I'm just like, hey, would you guys ever send a text like this? Or would you ever? And they're like, nope, sorry, we don't do that. If you ever get something, just, you know, ignore it or report it to us. Same thing with my emails to my work email all the time. I get stuff that I'm like you, I'm kind of like, this could be a thing.
Seems
you
reasonable.
Know? Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, these are unfortunately at an all time high and they're sophisticated and they look real. I mean, the one I got from my bank used my bank's name, the logo, all of the stuff that looked real. And I thought, why would my bank need to know my social security number and all that? So Tim, it has nothing to do with your age. It has everything to do with the fact that, like, we are living in a moment where technology makes these things a little easier for folks to make sophisticated and real to us. Hey, man, what a great show. Sorry I missed the first half of you. Glad I was able to listen to it on the course with the fellas, right? Great stuff, Jess. Great stuff, Tim. Back tomorrow with really fun conversation. Great stuff ahead. Join us tomorrow. Busted Pencils. Fully Leaded Education Talk. Back at you tomorrow, Friday.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Republican National Convention is in Milwaukee, putting Wisconsin in the spotlight. We're there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Republicans' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Join us live next week from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.